Think globally, act locally. This is a common phrase that we've heard probably for the last 40 years, that we need a perspective that's global while we act locally. A lot of people have picked up on this, especially in recent years. Some of our craft breweries often say, drink locally. Or local restaurants or farmers markets, they'll say, eat locally. And both are important. Both of these are important to keep in mind, that it's both locally where we engage, but also globally where our local actions can make a difference. And so today I'd like to zoom out a little bit and think globally. I've been speaking the last few weeks about how we can engage here at St. Jude's, how we can act locally, how we can take greater root in our parish. But if we only do that, we miss the second part. We can miss the fact that we're a parish that belongs to a global church, and that we're not the only ones in this world. The world doesn't revolve around St. Jude's. Newsflash. There are global concerns that we ought to continually think about. And today is World Mission Sunday. And so it's a great opportunity for us to do that, to unite with all the other people throughout the world and think of the church's mission. Also, World Mission Sunday this year falls within a greater month that Pope Francis has called for. He's called it an extraordinary month of mission. And so he really wants to highlight to us as our chief shepherd this global mission of the church, specifically that we engage here on World Mission Sunday with a second collection and thinking of how we might bless and be connected to people all over the world. And this is good for us. It's good for us to get outside of ourselves. Pope Francis is always reminding the church of this. He talks about a healthy church is one that goes out. If we're only a self-preservation church, a church of maintenance, then we get sick. We always have to remember that the church is a missionary church. It's one that goes out. He's talked about this essential nature of the church of being missionary. Something that's essential is a part of a thing's essence. It's a part of its nature. It's a thing that defines it. And the church essentially is missionary. It's a body that goes out. We see this from the beginning of the church. Jesus at the Great Commission, right before he skyrockets back into heaven at the ascension, he gives us this great commission to go, therefore, and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. Right at the beginning, Jesus gave us this mission to think globally, to go out and make disciples of some nations? No. To make disciples of all nations. Jesus gave us this right from the beginning. But periodically, the church can move away from this. We can forget it, and we need to be reminded. That's why Pope Francis, I think, is reminding the church to think globally, to remember the Great Commission. One time, the church really forgot about this and was more concerned about self-preservation was in the 16th century. That's the time of the Protestant Reformation. There were reforms that needed to happen in the church. We need to remember our mission. And so the Council of Trent really helped to address this. And so in those 1500s, new missionary organizations were formed. New religious brothers and sisters were formed, including the Jesuits, of whom Pope Francis belongs. And so the church was reminded during that century to go out, to not think so much about self-preservation and maintenance, but to remember more about our mission. One of those early missionaries was St. Francis Xavier, a great friend of mine, a great champion of Christ in the church. He missioned in Asia, in Japan, and in India. And while he was there, he wrote home to his friends. And this is a great letter he wrote that is very convicting to me. He wrote to his friends, "Many, many people here in Asia are not becoming Christians for one reason only. There's nobody to make them Christians." What a tragedy. What a sadness. If there are people not being reached with the gospel just because of a lack of missionary activity. And then the century to follow, in the 17th century, more and more missionaries started streaming to North America, where we've received the faith, where our ancestors have migrated. And especially some French missionaries came to Canada and this part of the United States in upstate New York. Yesterday we celebrated their feast day. These were the North American martyrs. More Jesuit missionaries who went out to proclaim the gospel. St. Isaac Jogues, St. John de Brebeuf, and their companions. 8 missionaries who went to a foreign land in order to preach the gospel. And it cost them everything. It cost them their life. Even when they were imprisoned, they kept baptizing, they kept preaching, they kept sharing and witnessing the love of Christ. Even when their lives were being taken and they were being abused, they kept preaching the gospel. One of them, St. John de Brebeuf, had this comment. He wrote in prayer, "My God, it grieves me so greatly that you are not known, that in this wilderness all have not been converted to you, that sin has not been driven from it." That's the prayer, brothers and sisters, of a missionary, of someone who understands and has taken on the mission of the church, that we want to drive out sin, we want to drive out sadness, we want to drive out illness and nakedness and all of those things that would make the world a worse place and make the world a better place. That's what missionary activity does in the church. It makes the world a better place. In every age, in every century, we need the church to proclaim the gospel. In the 20th century, there was the Second Vatican Council, and now we're 50 years from that, and the church continues to be missionary. We bring aid, and more importantly, we bring the light, the hope, and the joy of the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever Jesus needs to be proclaimed, to people all over the world. The church educates more people than any other organization on the planet. The church has eradicated literacy in continent after continent. The church feeds more people than any other organization on the planet. The church heals more people in our hospitals, in our clinics, in our outreaches than any other organization on the planet. And more importantly, we pair it with the gospel of Jesus. For people who are hungry to receive the joy of Jesus, we always introduce him. We always invite, never forcing or coercing, but always inviting people to know the love of Jesus that we've found in our hearts. But we can ask, well, what's my part in this? I can't be a missionary that just goes out and leaves everything behind. So how can we think globally, even here as we act locally at St. Jude's? I think the reading today from Exodus is really helpful for this. Because you see, in Exodus, Moses and his people are engaged in a battle. They're engaged in some activity. They've been attacked by Amalek, the bad guys. And they're forced with, well, what do we now do? And so who is involved in this activity of waging battle, of fighting back? Well, first it's Joshua and the men that he rallies around him, those who are specifically on the battlefield. But they're not fighting alone. You might remember. So it's Moses who goes up on the mountain and he's raising his hands over them. Moses is supporting the activity, but even he gets tired. His arms keep lowering, and every time his arms lower, then the Israelites lose. And so he keeps stretching out his hands. And so then Aaron and Hur support his hands. And so it's Aaron and Hur and Moses and Joshua and those on the battlefield. They're all part of the victory. They're all part of this activity to win, to be champions, to spread the gospel. And so maybe you're on the battlefield, or maybe you're Moses supporting them. Maybe you're supporting Moses who is supporting. Each of us plays our part in the world missions of the church. It's been said some give by going and being missionaries, but some go by giving. You and I probably can't pick up everything and go, but we can still be part of the mission and go by giving. There are two co-patrons of the missions, St. Therese and St. Paul. Very different individuals. Paul was one who went out and preached. He left everything. He went from country to country, village to village, proclaiming the gospel. He is a vision of the activity of the church. But Therese never left her hometown, and she's still a co-patron of the missions because she wanted to be a missionary. And as she discerned and looked at the body of Christ in this image that St. Paul gives us in his letter to the Corinthians, St. Therese realized, I can't be some flashy symbol. I can't be someone who just goes out and does great things. But I can still mean something. I can still have an active part. And so Therese spent the 24 years of her life on this earth praying from her little town in France for the missions, praying for priests, praying for those who were the active arms of Christ. And she said, I will be the love in the heart of the church. I will support the missionaries through my prayer. Therese didn't give a dime to the missions. Therese wasn't able to leave her hometown and do great things, but she prayed. And so too, we call her a co-patron with St. Paul to the missions. You probably remember, I served a year of missionary activity. I was able to go out for a whole year to leave everything in specific mission to young people. But I can't do that anymore. I'm getting old. I have to be here at St. Jude's. I have to act locally. So what do? I support 4 missionaries financially. This is above and beyond my contribution here to St. Jude's and other charities. I specifically give financially to missionaries. And I also pray for them. I've told them, every morning when I brush my teeth, I pray for you by name. It's a reminder for me. I brush my teeth every day, God willing. And it's a reminder, that's the time that I specifically pray for missionaries. And so I'm able to give financially and offer them in my prayers and remember them at the altar in the Holy Mass. Some of you are already giving to missionary activities. Some of you are doing missionary activity, maybe occasionally doing Habitat for Humanity or going on mission in different areas of the world or here locally. Keep doing that. We're each part of this global mission of the church. But God is calling some of us to be more active. He might be calling some of our young people, like I did, to go, to pick up everything, to give a year of mission, to go across the world or here in our own country and serve. He might be calling some families to do that too. There are family missions all throughout the world. That's always going to be a minority because he's calling others of us to give financially, and he's calling all of us to pray. And so today, as we take our second collection, as we continue to think globally and how we can actively engage the mission of the church, let's remember to be united with all of our brothers and sisters across the world, that we are one body of Christ. We are one body reaching out to those who can't read, to those who are hungry, to those who are sick, for those who are dying to know the gospel of Jesus Christ.